Hey, good vach, everybody. It's chus always to be here, to learn Torah together, to grow together. I want to thank always the Shriers for opening up their bias to all of us, to Eliza, to her family, and it should only be a chus for only simcha and bracha, Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach. The shir tonight is also sponsored by a very close Talmud of mine, his wife, Hadassah Mordechai Bennett, Le'ila Nishmas. His grandmother, whose yahrzeit was today, his grandmother's yahrzeit, Tila Matal Bas Yosef. Tila Matal Bas Yosef. He has a daughter, Tila, after her, so Be'ez Hashem should be a schus. Should be a big schus for his grandmother's neshama, all the learning, all the hisoris. Should be a schus for his daughter as well, Be'ez Hashem, just to bring nachas and simcha. And Amir Tashem, we should be zocha, she should be a melitz yosef for entire mishpacha, until we zocha tches ameisim, bekarav b'yameinu. Bas Yosef, after a parasha like this morning, is shaykh to learn Le'ila Nishmasa. So 1 week ago, just 1 week ago, feels like forever ago. But 1 week ago, we were all in our homes, lighting Chanukah licht. Okay, I don't know if each and every one of you was lighting the menorah, different minhagim as far as women, as far as lighting the menorah, but you were in your bias with your father's lighting the menorah, with brother's lighting the menorah, with your husband's lighting the menorah, whoever it was. We were there and it was Chanukah. As a matter of just 1 week ago. 1 week ago was the seventh night of Chanukah. Right now. To remind us of that. Because Imamish, if you stopped and you asked, if you didn't think about it, it feels like weeks ago, maybe even a month ago. How quickly time flies. And we have to ask ourselves, each and every one of us has to ask ourselves, are we still on fire? Did we ignite a fire that we still have with us? Is Chanukah still, even if not in a practical sense, being continued, but in an emotional sense? We had this chus before Chanukah to have a few shirim in Hachana, in preparation, to discuss some of the depth of what Chanukah should mean to us. And hopefully we understood that and connected and felt the aura, the light of Chanukah. Is it still with us? And it has to be still with us. Obviously, every yontiv is there, not just for the moment, to build us, to help us grow. But I think specifically Chanukah in a way. And I want to explain why. Chassam Sofer and others discuss how Chanukah and Sukkot are very much interconnected. Happens to be the last yontiv before Chanukah was Sukkot. But there are a lot of similarities. The emphasis of Mahadrin, this beautification of a mitzvah. Of course, every mitzvah we're supposed to try to do in a beautiful manner is that keli v'amveu. But specifically, we find by Chanukah Mahadrin, men Mahadrin, to perform the mitzvah in a very beautiful way. The Ikar mitzvah is one candle each night. We do way more than that. They're different as far as Sfarad and Ashkenazim, but ultimately, we all add on and we all do more than the Ikar core mitzvah. Mahadrin, men Mahadrin. And by Sukkot, who doesn't know what we call a esrog in the Torah, pre-Eitz Hadar, this beautiful fruit. We look for beautiful dalet midim, and we beautify the mitzvah. More so by those two yom tovim than any other of the yom tovim. That we find an emphasis on Mahadrin, on beautification. They're also both yom tovim, they're 8 days long. Pesach is only 7 days. Now I know in Chutz Laaretz we celebrate Pesach 8 days, but really it's 7 days. The only yontiv that's really in its core 8 days is Sukkot and Chanukah. They both have a tremendous connection to Kohanim. The Chashmonaim, we know Kohanim. And we know that the Sukkot is connecting to and being reminded of and commemorating the Anani HaKavod. And the Anani HaKavod is the Zchus of Aaron, who is the Kohen Gadol. So we have connections to Kohanim. Many connections, many deeper connections. I'm not going to get into all of them right now. That Sukkot and Chanukah are interconnected. So if Sukkot and Chanukah are interconnected, listen to this. The final day of Sukkot, we know, is what? The Shmini Atzeres. Shmini, now we have Simchas Torah, but in Eretz Yisrael, and how it's supposed to be Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah is one. Shmini Atzeres is not really part of Sukkot. In Eretz Yisrael, you don't sit in a sukkah. Here even, we don't take Dalaminim. It's a yontiv by itself, and famously, it's an idea we've spoken about many times, if you remember. This is a famous Chazal, where Hashem says, Kosha Elayla Fridaschem. We had all these beautiful days of Yontiv, Rosh Hashanah, Kippur, Sukkot, that we were so interconnected, closer to Hashem. Hashem says, I don't want to leave you. I don't want you to leave me. I want to be close to you. So let's celebrate one more day to stay connected. And there are no special mitzvahs on that day. The whole yontif, that extra day, is to stay connected to Hashem. To keep the inspiration of all the other Yom Tovim with us. And say, I'm not going to leave you. It's going to stay with us. That's the lingering taste of Sukkot. And if that's the lingering taste of Sukkot, that has to be the lingering taste of Chanukah. I actually saw Rav Avraham Yeshua Freund. He brings down to answer the famous question you all know of the Beis Yosef and Chanukah with this answer. Everybody asks on Chanukah, why is it 7 days and not 8 days? If the miracle was only 7 days, and there's so many answers. You probably didn't hear a shir on Chanukah that didn't somehow connect to that question. But here he explains, you know what? Really, there's only supposed to be 7 days. You know why you have an eighth day? You have an eighth day just like the eighth day of Sukkot. Where it's not in commemoration of any particular miracle or any particular mitzvah. It's just to stay connected to Hashem. Just to say, I want to stay connected to Hashem. So if that's the case, and that's how Sukkot ended, and that's how Chanukah is supposed to end, the whole idea, the emphasis at the end of Chanukah is to say, let's stay connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Irregardless of any particular mitzvah. Irregardless of any particular reason. The reason is because we understand how close we need to be to Hashem. And how we need Hashem in our lives. And we need to be thankful to Hashem for all He does for us. And we need to build that deep connection to Hashem that's never going to disconnect. You know, all of us, whether we were deeply connected or just knew about the tragedies of the last few weeks in our community. The tragedy two Matzei Shabbos ago, where Dr. Richie Friedman was taken from us, one of my father's closest friends. Still, mamish, the end of davening tonight, I was like mamish shaking. Because I remember it was two Matzei Shabbos ago, and I was davening Ma'ariv at the Shtibel, like I usually do. And I was standing next to a friend of mine, well, many of his children are my Talmidim, Alan Hammer. And I heard Alan Hammer's walkie-talkie, his Hatzalah walkie-talkie, and talking about an emergency on Washington Avenue. I didn't know who it was. I didn't know what it was about. It was Dr. Richie Friedman. That tragedy, and then the tragedy this week of Chaim Svi ben Avram, Zachary Goldstein, which is so hard to even talk about, to even understand. But there's only, you know, I'm not going to start to talk about these in Yonim tonight. If anyone wants, if you haven't, you should. This past Thursday night gave a lot of chizuk in Amun and Bitachon. You can listen to that shiur on Yom Torah, because I think that's the only answer. Meaning, there are no answers to the why. There are no understandings to why this would happen. There are none. Anyone who tries, there are no answers. Sometimes there are questions that are left unanswered in life. So how do we move on, and how do we continue on, and how are we not frozen in space and in time? How are we going to deal and continue on in our lives and not be crippled by such tragedies? Only one answer. When we have such a deep connection to the Eibishter, and we trust in Him more than we trust in even ourselves and our own understanding. And we know that He's running the world, and we know that even we don't understand it, but there is rhyme and reason that we don't understand. But if I have that connection, I can move on, I can be okay. It doesn't mean I don't shed a tear. We're allowed to still shed a tear. We're allowed to still be sad. But I can move on, I can be okay. I'm never going to be crippled and depressed and destroyed in a way from tragedy, because I know this is the Eibishter. And it's all going to ultimately lead to Geula, even though I don't see it in the moment. And Chanukah was the time to see the Or, to see the light. What is that light? That light is the Ribbono Shel Olam, the closeness we're supposed to have to Him. And hopefully we still have that with us. And what specific way? You know, Chanukah is all about defeating the Yetzer Hara. Because the Greeks, more than any other Gaulist, represents the Yetzer Hara. And what do I mean by that? I know we're still talking about Chanukah. It's hard to take Chanukah out of my mind. You know, obviously we always look forward to the next Yontif, but with two Adars, you know, Purim is so far away, it's hard. So you have to still stay connected to Chanukah. Right? You still have to stay connected to Chanukah. And we have to keep it with us. So Chanukah, I think, more than any other Yontif, is about defeating the Yetzer Hara, and it's about our lives today. Because all the other Yontifs of Geula are, on some level, more so we focus on the physical destruction. Haman wanted to physically destroy us. Churban Beis HaMikdash was a terrible physical destruction. Now, obviously, it was all because of spiritual downfalls. that we have to do introspection about on those days. But Chanukah, in its very essence, was a spiritual galus. The Hellenistic Greeks were trying to cause us not to keep Torah mitzvahs, which is the galus we live in today, which are the challenges that each and every one of us face. So there's no more important chizik inspiration than the aura, the light of Chanukah, the aura of Torah to keep with us, to defeat our everyday Greeks, our everyday Yetzirah that each and every one of us deals with. Each and every one of us has our trials and tribulations in different ways, subjectively, whether it's laziness, whether it's temptations, whether it's being pushed by our parents or our friends or whoever it might be in life to be someone we really don't want to be. We all have this, every one of us. And Chanukah tells us we have to remember that light, that clarity of Torah, of Hashem, to be able to have the strength to defeat the Yetzirah. It's an amazing remez. Man, this one's incredible. It's not my own. It's from Rav Avraham Shor. Unbelievable. He brings down first from the Bnei Yisachar. He says that the Mabel took place in the year 1656 after creation of the world. In the way that we count, right? We're in Tav Shinayin Tes. So 1656 is when the Mabel occurred. Now, I didn't do any research in this. I'm going to trust him and trust for sure with anything. So he says, listen to this, unbelievable. Unbelievable, you can't make this stuff up. You ready for this? It's incredible. If you look in a Gemara in Sukkah, okay, you guys don't have to look, you'll trust me on this. I've learned this Gemara many times. There's a Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph, that talks about the Yetzirah, that each and every one of us is battling, and says the Yetzirah has seven names. Seven different names. The name represents the essence of what it is, and there are different character traits of the Yetzirah and how it works and how it tries to bring our downfall. What are the names? Ra, it's bad. Orel is like an impediment. A person who didn't have their bris mila yet, it's called an Orel. An impediment, something holding us back. Tame, also makes sense, right? Sone, hates us, he's trying to bring us down. Michshol is a stumbling block. Even, it's a rock, like when you have a lave even and you have no emotion and you're cold. And finally, it's a phony. It's a phony means hidden, because ultimately he often tries to trick us and rationalizes and causes ways that in a hidden way he brings our downfall, right? These are seven names of the Yetzirah. Bnei Yisachar says if you add up the gematria of all seven names, exactly 1,656. The seven names of the Yetzirah are exactly 1,656. Exactly the year that the Mabel, which was destruction of the world. What brought destruction of the world? Because the Yetzirah got the best of the world. So 1,656 was the compilation and the combination of all seven names of Yetzirah. If we stop there already, incredible. Crazy, right? But Rav Shor says, and I think this was his own, if I'm not mistaken, I heard this from years ago. On Chanukah, we learn how to defeat the Yetzirah through the Or, through the light of Torah, through the light of Hashem, right? And we have 8 days of Chanukah. Or, Aleph Vav Reish, which is 207 times 8. 207 times 8. Or times 8 days of Chanukah, exactly 1,656. Through the Or of Chanukah, you learn how to battle the seven names of the Yetzirah, and not create another Mabel in the world. That's our Avodah. And that's what Chanukah was. And hopefully we still have that with us. Hopefully we're still strong in that aura, Keneged Yetzirah. And it doesn't have to be through the performance of the mitzvahs. The essence of Chanukah is to live with us always. The essence of it, the Kedushas Levi, the Berditchah, talks about how true tzaddikim are living in all the Yom Tovim at the same time. Not to get into that Torah right now, but Mamas, you could live with all the essence of each yontiv and all the kedusha of it, and stays with us. You know, there's a story I was reading recently. Rav Yosef Mendelovich, maybe some of you have heard him speak. He's a big tzaddik. He was a refusnik in Russia and thrown in jail. Mamas, terrible, tortured terribly. And he says when he was in jail in Russia, I don't know, 1960s probably, something like that. He was in Russia in jail, and he was mamish being tortured, thrown into solitary confinement. They didn't let him see his father for like 7-8 years because he wouldn't take off his yarmulke. So if you keep on your yarmulke, you're not allowed to see your father. he wouldn't take off his yarmulke. Mamish, big yidden, big people. Big people. Big people. See, he was in jail. He was like in Mamish in the cell. And it was Chanukah. He knew it was Chanukah. And he wanted to light menorah somehow. But he couldn't get anything. It was Mamish like the stories in the Holocaust we think of, right? And somehow he got one match. He was able to get his hands on one match. And of course he could easily take out of his uniform to make a little wick. But what's he going to burn? He was trying to get a little oil, something. He couldn't. He said he'd figure out, do it late, late at night when none of the guard. And he couldn't get anything. First night, couldn't. Mamish got nothing to be able to burn. So he said, what did he do? Listen to what he did. Yosef Mendelovich. He took something, he had maybe another a rock or something. He carved into the wall, into the cement wall. He carved like a picture of the menorah, indented into the wall. And he put a little wick from his uniform, from his prisoner uniform. And he used the match to light the wick with no oil, nothing. And it flickered, he said, for maybe 10 seconds, not even. Maybe a few seconds. And he said the chizik, the inspiration of that light in the darkest of places, gave him chizik to get him through all those difficult times in jail. Now between us, halachically, he performed no mitzvah. But he connected to the aura of Chanukah and it gave him such inspiration. So we also, maybe tonight, we're not going to light a menorah. We're not going to light a menorah. Chanukah ended a week ago already. We're not lighting any menorahs tonight. It doesn't mean we can't stay connected to Chanukah and have that aura, that light with us to remind us to defeat the Yetzirah every moment of our life. But how? How? Let's talk a little bit. What does that mean? What do we have to know? What do we have to understand? So I think you always have to live with the parasha. We say that all the time. The Hillel Lubavitcher Rebbe used to teach us that you have to live with the parasha. So let's analyze the parasha and these parashas, the parashas of Yosef HaTzadik, who's so interconnected, by the way, the Chanukah. But we're going to move on now from Chanukah and continue on as we have to. But Yosef happens to be 156, which is Gematria Melech Yavan, which is also Gematria Antiochus, because he's the one who defeats the Yavanim. But okay, for another time, you will remind me next year. We'll go into that. Mir Tashem. So Yosef HaTzadik, all these years, this we read, I don't know how many of you were in shul to listen, Mamish, the unbelievable, heartwarming, inspirational words, Ani Yosef, Ode Avichai, the emotional words. So Mamish, you can't hear those words without tears coming down your cheeks. Reliving that storyline of Yosef revealing himself to his brothers. And the moment when Yosef meets up with his tate, with his father, Yaakovinu, he hasn't seen in 22 years from the age of 17. Can we imagine what that was like? But we know all these 22 years, the Pasuk of Vayeshev says, that Yaakovinu, Vayimo'ein lehisnachem. What does that mean, Vayimo'ein lehisnachem? He refused to be comforted and consoled. He refused to be comforted and consoled. He couldn't move on. For 22 years, he was an avelus from Yosef HaTzadik. 22 years. The question is, we know by Tzadikim, we see by Aaron HaKohen, for example, when Nadan Avihu were taken from him, the pasuk of Vayidom Aaron, he was quiet. He accepted it. He didn't mourn too much. This was, as we said before, the hand of God. And maybe we don't understand why, but we have to accept. We have to connect to Hashem. And we all know, and it's brought down in many places, we're not going to go into the depth of it right now, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to those who go through tragedy and difficulty a matana of nechama, of comfort. So we're supposed, and we do mourn for Shiva, and we mourn for Shloshim, and for a year of Kaddish, but we're supposed to be able to move on and say Baruch Dayan Emes. Why didn't Yaakov have that gift of nechama for 22 years? Why not? The answer is because Yosef HaTzadik was alive. Because Yosef HaTzadik wasn't dead. Because Yosef HaTzadik was there. Because Baruch Hu gives the gift of Matana when we need it, because we need to move on. But somewhere in his unconscious, somewhere deep in his kishkas, somewhere deep inside, Yaakovinu knew, or he didn't know, but he knew, that Yosef was still alive, and he couldn't be comforted because he was yearning so deeply to be reunited with his son. Who it was possible to be reunited. He was still alive. So he didn't ever, he was never comforted. Because he was still there. We find similarly, as we all know, the avelus that we have after close to 2,000 years of Churban Beis HaMikdash? Why didn't we already just give up? I'm comforted, no Beis HaMikdash. And it's not just, of course, we're yearning for a third Beis HaMikdash. Well, we're still in avelus. We sit on the floor crying from the last Korban on Tisha B'Av. The teretz is because the Kedusha is still here. The holiness is still here. It's all still within our grasps. It's still there. It hasn't been lost. So I'm not going to give up when it's still there. And I'm capable of getting it. If it's out of our hands, we have to learn to move on. If it's out of our hands, we have to learn to move on. And be makabel, ava, and yesurin ba'ava. But if it's still, we could still grab it, we have to yearn for it. So too, every one of us has to know is our kesher, our deep relationship with Hashem. So too is that light that we saw hopefully over Chanukah and that we've seen at times in our lives that we've had the strength to be strong in our avodas Hashem. And maybe some of us, we feel we haven't been that same person since we've been, you know, midway through Shana Aleph learning in seminary. Or maybe it was a day on a Yom Kippur or on a Simchas Torah on a Purim and I was my best self and I knew who I'm supposed to be and I fall and I'm not that person anymore. You could be that person. You are that person. It's within your grasp. Don't give up on it. It has to stay with us. We're all those same children of Hashem. And that relationship is never lost. And we have to stay connected to that R. And we have to believe in ourselves. And stay connected to the R of Torah and the R of Hashem. And never say, oh, it's forgotten, Chanukah's over, whatever. Yeah, there were nights when I was sitting by my Neros and I was watching Neros and I felt so alive and so one with Hashem and this is who I want to be. And now a week later, it's like it never even happened. Don't give up. Know that you have it in you. Believe in yourself. And I'll tell you that more than that. And I'll tell you more than that. When you understand that you have that in you and you understand the light that we've seen and the light that we all could have to defeat the Yetzer Hara. We have to be able to dream big. You know, these are the parashas of dreamers. There's so much, during this time of the year, there's so much emphasis on dreaming. Last week, the dreams of Paro. 2 weeks ago, the dreams of Yosef HaTzadik. Big dreams! Yosef HaTzadik was a dreamer. These are the parashas of Yosef HaTzadik. He was a dreamer. And Yosef is the one who defeats Yavan, a dreamer. He dreamed to be big, right? To be that everyone else should be bowing to him. And guess what? Because he dreamed, what happened? It actually came true. He had big dreams and they came true. Each and every one of us has to be a dreamer. We have to dream big. We have to be dreaming for greatness. And greatness doesn't mean that I have to be necessarily the head of an organization or some big respected role model that people, that my names are in papers. And in our relationship with Hashem, in our relationship with our family, as a wife one day, as a mother one day, to be the best you, to dream to be as close to Hashem as possible. We have to dream for godless, for greatness. Don't settle for anything less. I'll never forget one of the most inspirational speeches I ever heard in my life. With the summer of 2000. Summer of 2000. So over 18 years ago, right? Wow. You girls were a little bit young. You girls were a little bit young. I think all of you were alive, right? I'm pretty sure. I don't know if there are any high school girls here tonight. I think everybody was alive. Probably very small, right? What? You were two years old? Okay. So it was my first summer married. It was my first summer married. Got married Gimel Adar Sheni, March 9th of 2000. And the first summer married, I had the schus to spend the summer with my wife on NC Soikolo. We were there for the summer. I was a night shir rabbi in Ska Mashkiach, and it was incredible. It was incredible to spend your first summer in Eretz Yisrael. It was the last summer that NC Sokolo used to be in Efrat, which was gorgeous, incredible. It was really incredible. It was really special. And it was the first summer since then. They've come every summer, I believe, that Rav Schechter, Rav Herschel Schechter, and Rav Meir Twersky spend the summer with Antipas Bar Kokhba. Oh, the first summer they did that was that summer, summer of 2000. Had some great times with them. It was very, something very special. I have a great picture I got to find. I have a picture with myself, my wife, Rav Meir Tversky. You know Rav Meir Tversky a little bit just by seeing him. And his Rebbetzin jeeping together. Four of us are... Rav Tversky, Mamish, you can't make... Where else are you going to have that opportunity? Mamish, and I have a picture at home. I had to find it. We'll bring it in to prove. Right? We're on the... On a jeep. All right, I have to find it. We'll post it. The four of us jeeping. They're also like a couple of their kids. A couple of their kids were on the jeep. Like one of these open jeeps in the back, you know? We were all in the back. Rav Tversky's wearing a baseball cap. I still remember it was a Chicago Bulls baseball cap. So I wanted to make a little leitzanus with him. You know, you could talk. I said, Rebbe, you're a fan of Michael Jordan, you know? He's wearing a Chicago Bulls cap. But anyways, I'm not sure he knew who that was or not, but it was what it was. L'maisa. So Tversky gave one of the highlights of every week in Antioch Tocolo was Shal Shudis. And Shal Shudis, somebody gave... like a crazy inspirational speech. You know, you've all been that Charles Shudis is like this, and that's where, like, he could be most honest and most real, and the end of Shabbos, which is the holiest time of the week, holiest time of the year. And 1 week, Rav Tversky gave it. It was the first time he gave it. And Rav Tversky, he's a gadol hadar. Mamish, a tzaddik yisod olam. Holding brilliant. We weren't even sure if, like, when they asked him to, I remember being involved, if it was, like, a good idea necessarily to mostly high school kids, you know. He could give shiurim, obviously, and it's inspiration just to have him there. This type of a speech, which usually was like more stories and a different type of inspiration than we're used to hearing from him. His mom to have a gadol hadar give that. But they did. It was the most inspiring. It was incredible. Everyone walked away a different person. I still think about the speech 18 years later. And he looked around the room. I'll never forget. He looked around the room. In the dining room, Mamish on the hills of Efrat, just as Shabbos is ending. Incredible, incredible. And he looked around the room and he said to every 15 and 16-year-old boy sitting there, he said, I'm jealous of each and every one of you. He says, I'm already older. I don't know how old he was at the time, maybe he's 50 years old, whatever he was. He says, I'm already older. He says, you're young. You could still dream to be big. You could still dream to be Talmid HaChacham. You could still dream to be big people, successful in whatever area it is. He says, I'm already past that. I already didn't become who I could have become. This is what Tversky said about himself. Mamash gadol hadar. It was crazy. And it sticks with me till today. I don't remember necessarily the Torah he shared, but remember him saying that. And how we have to dream, and we can dream. And we have to be dreamers. And dream to be big. With the inspiration of that light, know that's who we could be. That's just a hint and a reminder. And dream to be that type of a person. And be a dreamer like Yosef HaTzadik. So I was thinking maybe that's why we'll try something here tonight. We do, once in a while, like to do. You know, in culture these days, and it's stuck for a very, very, very long time. You guys know maybe some of you more than me, but you're not going to admit it now tonight together. But, you know, so I think it was last year, or whatever it was, that came out a movie that was like the biggest hit for a very long time. And somehow it's still big, like over a year later, The Greatest Showman, right? Somehow, like, and the music from that, somehow, is, you know, usually things fade. And this one, like, hasn't faded. It's an amazing thing. Shows how incredible it was, obviously. It's like it's very rare to see something in the entertainment world to stay strong for so long. So I'm a big believer in, like, if there's something going on in the outside world, we have to be makadish and take from it, and there's a message to each and every one of us. And probably the biggest song from the album that at least has become the biggest song over time and is constantly being redone by people in all different worlds is the song A Million Dreams, right? Everybody knows it here. Some of you would admit you know it. Some of you wouldn't want to admit you know it. But okay, you all know what I'm talking about, right? Fine. Yeah, I heard Sholem Lemmer sing it. That's why I didn't know it until... I never knew it until Simcha Leiner did it, The Greatest Chuppah. So then I had to check what it was just to hear, because he did it to Mivan Tziach or Miadir, whichever one he did it to. I don't remember which one he did one. You know, okay, but somehow you know it, right? Somehow you know it. Now they had to do the new album with the famous singers singing. I'm not a big fan of that at all. The whole idea behind that, I don't know why they did that.
Why?
Because you destroy the authenticity of it. Mm-hmm. That they redid the new album with all the like famous singers doing all the songs. Yeah. What are you doing? What are these people thinking? Let me tell you, let me explain to you something. Let me explain. I don't care how good a voice these singers have, and Chvesnish, whoever's on the album, I don't know, Pink and whoever else. But when I saw the names. I saw the names on the thing. I don't even know. But Lamaisa, I don't know the thing, because obviously if you don't stop for a minute, okay, it happens to be incredible music, but the godless in the album, why it's so emotional and people are so moved by it, is clearly not just the music, but the connection to the movie and to the storyline. And when you connect the song to the storyline, and you remember that, so you're connected to it and it has an emotional value, much more so than a regular song, then you hear it, right? But when you hear somebody else singing it, and it's no longer from the movie, you're losing all that emotional value. So really, redoing it is a big mistake. Like, nobody's going to care about it. I don't know how many of you listened to that new album or didn't, but there's no way it could be close to as good as the first one. It just can't. Because it lost all... Because anything in life that's real is because it's emotional. Because it's connecting to your heart. It's not just good music in your head. Let's be real. And that's why it stuck so long. It's because of the connection to the movie and how great it was done. Okay, we could darshan all this another time. That's not where I was going with it. But probably the song that became most famous, at least redone constantly, is A Million Dreams. I know the other song was bigger on the radio. Which one? I don't remember the name now. But one of them was bigger on the radio. No, not that one wasn't on the radio. The other one. Well, there you go. Which one? This is me. Made it to the radio. But A Million Dreams is the one that's been much more redone. I happen to think the best song is From Now On. But okay, anyways, that's my own. Personally, what I think is the best one.
I like a lot.
The emotions in that song is like incredible, and the words we could darshan every happens to be for another time, not tonight, but it happens to be you could darshan the whole movie and every song. Mamish is the reason why it's so great is because the lessons in it are so real and so true, and it's everything we believe in. It's Mamish everything we believe in, and all that's wrong with the world that we live in. That movie, Mamish, it's all that's wrong in the world we live in, and all the way we should be living our life. That's the truth, Mamish. That's why it is so special. But let's get to what I wanted to get to. So the song, again, the song that became big is A Million Dreams. And I think if you think about the words in the song, it's mamish, incredible. It's incredible. You ready? Now, nobody, don't start singing, okay? Nobody. If I wasn't here, you could. If you had a woman giving you shear, maybe, but we can't. So let me, so here we go. You ready? I should leave and have somebody else give the rest of the shir so you could really connect to it. Should I sing it or just read it? I don't even know. It's hard not to sing. You know when you have... No. MS is... The MS is when you have lyrics from a song. It's very hard not to sing it and just say it. You know what I'm saying? It's just hard to do.
You should sing it.
Okay, we'll see. All right, you ready? Let's learn. This is all for learning. Okay, so just the beginning of the song. You'll dash in the rest yourselves. We'll sing because it will hit somewhere place. I close my eyes and I can see. So what's pshat? I close my eyes and I can see, right? It should be pum fakert. You close your eyes and you can see. When you close your eyes, you can't see. So some people think, Pasha Pshad is maybe it's because it's all about dreaming. So when you close your eyes, you're going to sleep and having a dream. No. We as Jews, we dream awake. We dream when we're awake. Each and every one of us, the dreams we're talking about are when we're wide awake. So what is I close my eyes and I can see? So Svarim talk about not just our eyes. Not just our eyes that we see visually and physically. But there's something called the Einei HaSeichel. The eye of our intellect, the eye of our mind. So if we're closing our eyes and we can see, it's talking about close our physical eyes, don't see what's around us. And see really. See with our Einei HaSeichel. Right, so I close my eyes, I can see. The world that's waiting up for me. That I call my own. That I call my own. What does it mean that I call my own? The world has to be a place that I call my own. So many of us are living because of pressures from other people. And living a life that's not my own. I'm living because how my parents want me to live. Which might not be, there might be something we have to take that into account and listen always and take. Or I'm living because of how the society wants me to be. Or how my friends want me to be. We have to live MS to ourselves. Ani Yosef, I am Yosef, I am the same person, I haven't been desensitized by my surroundings. The world that's waiting up for, the world that's waiting up for me that I call my own, meaning my own, it's my world. I have to close my eyes to the surroundings of the pressures of the world, of the Yetzer Hara, and I have to call my own, I have to call it my own world, and make sure that I'm living according to my own world. We continue on, right? Through the dark, through the door. So what's the dark and what's the door? The dark, Yavan, is Choshech. The Yetzer Hara is darkness. The last name of the Yetzer Hara, we said it's Tzifoni. It's hiding. That's darkness which causes something to be hidden. We have to get through the dark. Through the dark. We have to get through that to the light. Kiner Mitzvah Torah. Through the door. What do we say during time in the year, Ashanim Kippur time, Slichos, when we're trying to really work on ourselves and be ourselves? Kol Dodi Doi Fake. Kol Dodi Defik Pischuli. Simcha Leiner has a song for that too, right? Pischuli, right? But it's more than a song. Kol Dodi Dofake Pischuli. Kol Dodi Dofake. The voice of my beloved is Dofake. Is banging on the door. Pischuli, open up. We gotta open up our doors. Our doors to the Rebbeinu Shlom, our doors to Emes. Right? So we say, through the dark, through the door, through where no one's been before. What's worth through no one's been before? Bishvili Nivrolam. Don't live somebody else's life. Every one of us is here for a reason. Every one of us is here for a reason. There are no copies. We all have our own chemical makeup. We all have our own individuality. Through where no one's been before. Don't try to be somebody else. Be yourself. Dream a million dreams. Dream to be yourself. Dream to get through the door. Dream to get through the dark. Dream to call your own. Right? And he continues. But if... What did I get through? Where did we get up to? But it feels like home. But it feels like home. What does it mean, but it feels like home? Because when you start living for yourself and get through that dark and through the Yetzer Hara and through the doors and not living for all the temptations of the world and for others in this world, there's no bigger simcha in the world than being yourself. That's when we're happiest. So it feels... What does it mean it feels like home? It feels right. What's home? Home is the sweetest place in the world. When I'm home, I'm comfortable. When I'm home, I'm where I'm supposed to be. Where I'm home, I feel good about myself. I'm besimcha because I'm living how I'm supposed to be living. I'm true to myself. So then what happens when I try to be myself? What happens when I dream to get through the dark and through the door, and I dream to be my own, and I finally feel like home, feeling fine's good? So then I get off the plane and I come home. They can say, it all sounds crazy, right? So then the world all tells me, but then people tell me I'm crazy. Well, you don't have, come on, dress normally. Come on, it's the summer, come to the beach. Come on, you're crazy. We haven't heard this? You're crazy. That's the type of lifestyle you want? Right? They can say, it all sounds crazy. Once I start, they all say it's crazy. They can say, I've lost my mind. We go get it. We've all gotten this, and sometimes it's actual, and sometimes it's just our own mind, and sometimes it's just the pressures of the society and culture that we live in, that our life doesn't add up according to. So you have to say, I don't care, so call me crazy. We can live in a world that we design. Our avod is to live in our world, it's up to us. To do away with all the Yetzer Haras, get through the dark, get through the door. And not worry about what people are saying is crazy and that we've lost our mind. But dream. And dream to be yourself. You know, everybody discusses and compares Chanukah and Purim. Everybody compares and discusses Chanukah and Purim. But you know, the Imre Yemes says something very interesting. On Purim, we celebrate the day that we rested, and the day, not that we rested, the day that we celebrated already in Shushan, when, and in the world. The day we celebrate Purim when we celebrated our victory. On Chanukah, we celebrate the day that we fought the war. Because the chizik of Chanukah is to fight. The chizik of Chanukah is to fight the Yetzer Hara. The chizik of Chanukah is to dream and be that light. The chizuk of Chanukah is, as we say in Al Nisim, Al HaMelchamos. We're thanking Hashem about the wars. Even we think about fighting the wars against the Yetzirah. And each and every one of us needs to fight the Yetzirah. And needs to dream to be that person who we've been when we've been fighting the Yetzirah. And dream big, and dream to be ourselves. A million dreams, as many dreams as it takes. To not stop dreaming. To not ever stop dreaming. You know, there was a big tzaddik who dreamt. 70 years ago, the Panovich of Rav, Harav Yosef Shlomo Kahneman, arrived in Eretz Yisrael. He had lost his wife and 9 children in the firestorm of the Holocaust. One of his sons miraculously escaped and reached America. The Rav was sure that a daughter of his had also managed to flee and was alive and well. He arranged a shidduch for her with an excellent boy from Chevron. Then the terrible news came that she had also been swallowed up in the European Valley of Death. Panovich Rav was 64 years old. He arrived devastated in Eretz Yisrael. His life's work, the yeshiva and Panovich with 300 Bachrim, was gone. The Panovich Rav said, "Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed me to survive the Nazi Gehenim. It was not so that I would retire to an old age home where I would forget about everything, so that I would build Torah. Looking around Tel Aviv, Bnei Brak, and Ramat Gan, he saw a spiritual wilderness. He decided he was going to establish yeshiva in Bnei Brak near the Chazon Ish. He felt this was the perfect climate for the growth of Torah. Setting his eyes on a tall hill in the center of Zichron Meir, he made plans to purchase and build a yeshiva that could accommodate 500 students. This was his vision for the future, his dream. People asked him, Panovich Rav, what's gotten into you? In the whole Eretz Yisrael, there are only about 200 yeshiva boys. And you want to build the yeshiva for 500 boys? Be realistic. Build a small yeshiva for 50 boys. You'll be lucky to fill that. Eretz Yisrael, in those days, there was nobody after the Holocaust. Nobody learning Torah. 200 boys in all Eretz Yisrael. You're going to build a yeshiva for 500? The Panovich Rav ignored them. And they all shook their heads in pity. Oy. He Nebuch has lost everything, and now he's even losing his mind. Right? They can say, it all sounds crazy. They can say, I've lost my mind. Because they said about the Panovich Rav. But he didn't stop dreaming. In fact, Rav Yitzchok Herzog, Rav Isaac Herzog, the chief rabbi of Israel, he came to him and says, Panovich Rav, what are you dreaming? And he says, I might be dreaming, but I'm not sleeping. That we have to dream awake and dream big. And the Panovich Yeshiva became of the biggest yeshivas in all of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Shach Zeich Yitzchak Kodesh Levracha. You can go in Bnei Brak and see it on top of the hill today. Now just a backstory for a moment. Just unbelievable chizik. To each and every one of you that's going to be a mother one day, b'shatayva in the right time. Listen to this. Listen to the backstory. Because when they laid the cornerstone for the yeshiva, if I start telling all the stories of how he got the place and how he got the money, it's nizim gluyim. But they had a big day where they laid the cornerstone and he was crying and the Chazon Ish was crying. Literally the tears streaming down their cheeks was mixed with cement to lay the cornerstone of Panovich. The building, the cornerstone of Panovich was built with the tears of the Panovich Rav and the Chazon Ish. Emet, like real. Not like literally. But listen to the backstory. So then they had a Suda. They had a Suda to celebrate the cornerstone of the yeshiva, which still people thought he was nuts, nobody's going to come to. So they washed hands and sat down to eat. The Panovich Rav sat at the head of the table, shining with happiness. He started speaking. You think the laying of the cornerstone took place today? Let me inform you this is not so. The cornerstone laying took place 57 years ago, on my mother's back. Panovich Rav proceeded to tell them the following narrative. It was a bitterly cold night and the ground was covered with snow 5 feet deep. The Kahneman family, father, mother, and 5 brothers, sat eating supper. There was not much food as they were very poor. Yet there was always enthusiasm around the table as each child related what he had learned that day. However, that evening a deep sadness prevailed in the house. His mother had said that she would not allow the boys to go to cheder the next day without boots and a coat. The children knew that the family owned only 1 pair of boots and 1 coat. Each child begged to be allowed to use them so they would be able to go and learn. The oldest brother was 12, insisted he needed to go as the next day's class was beginning a new Gemara, which he could not miss. The 11-year-old was just as insistent he needed to be in class. The 2 younger brothers also begged to go. 7-year-old Yoska, that was the Panovich Rav, he was known as Yoska of Yosef. The youngest cried out, What will be with my Mishnayis? Listen to these boys. Imagine little boys today. It's what's the happiest day in any house? A snow day, right? Happiest day. You wake up. It's like you can't have anything happier in a house than a snow day. There's nothing happier than a snow day. Here, listen to how these boys yearning to go learn. Yearning to have the one pair of boots and the one pair of gloves. One coat. It's concluded that they would let heaven decide who was going to be utilizing, who would be going by utilizing a lottery. As the children benched, the walls shook. As each child benched with great kavan in order to attain merit, to win the lottery. Each one's bedtime shema was also said with great fervor in the hope of being the winner. The children went to sleep not knowing who would be the lucky one to be able to go to cheder the next day. At 5:30 a.m. the next morning, mother knew the shamish had already lit the coal stove in the shul, and it was now warm there. She woke her oldest son up. Shh, don't disturb your brothers. Did I win the raffle? No, I won. Mother gave the child food for two meals and wrapped him up in a blanket. She put on the boots and coat and carried him to shul, where he would await the melamed. The cold was unbearable. The 5-minute walk took 20 minutes. Not a soul was in sight. As she left him to shul, she said, at 5 this afternoon, I will pick you up. Mother returned home, blanket in hand, woke her second son, took him to shul. She repeated this with child number 3 and then child number 4. At 7 a.m., she woke up Yaska. Do you want to go to cheder? He jumped up in delight. Of course. Mother wrapped him in the blanket and they started off. Mother did not walk. She danced along. Rabbeinu Shalom, thank you for allowing my 4 sons to reach cheder. Here I'm bringing you the 5th. Thank you. May they always want to learn your holy Torah. May Torah be sweet to them always. Young Yaska was deeply moved by his mother's word. He called out to her, Mama, you carried us in the ice and snow to learn Torah. Mama, you'll see, I will bring many boys to learn Torah for you, Mama. For you. Concluded the Panovich of Rav. After all I have lost and suffered, if I still have the strength to start again, it's due to my mother. Can't even understand what that is. What is a Yiddish mother? But the Panovich of Rav dreamed. The Panovich of Rav dreamed. And even when everyone told him he's crazy and he lost his mind, he didn't stop dreaming. And each and every one of us, we're sitting here a week after Hanukkah. And hopefully each and every one of us still have a little bit of that aura, a little bit of that light. It's like when you're watching a menorah on the 8th night and that last candle's still there, flickering. Hopefully we still have, and if you don't know you have it, you still have it. Yaakov on the exterior, he didn't know Yosef was still alive, but he wouldn't be comforted. So if you don't even know you have it, you have it. You all have it. You have that aura to defeat the Yetzirah. And that aura to dream. To dream big, to dream great, to dream to be that type of a mother. To dream to be that type of a person. Putting Torah and Yiddishkeit above all. And not give in to the pressures of society or pressures of anyone telling us. And trying to rip us away from our dreams. So let's continue to have a million dreams. And realize the more we dream, the more we'll fulfill those dreams. And be closer to Hashem. Be one with Hashem. And have that light of Torah as our guiding light. Until we're zoicha to the light of Mashiach. You know, this morning we read Vayis'apak. Yosef, he couldn't hold back anymore and he had to say, Ani Yosef. We'll be zoicha. If we live our lives the way we're supposed to be, true to ourselves and dream big, so we'll be zoicha. Kosh Baruch Hu, Vayis'apak. I can't hold back anymore. And I'll say, Ani Hashem, Vahay Hashem, B'yoma. Yayeh Hashem Echad Vishmoy Echad. It'll be on that day. Hashem will reveal to us Himself in the grandest of ways with Bias Mashiach, Karav Ma'amish, B'mheir V'yameinu. B'vach. We'll continue Meretz Hashem soon, everyone.